It gives me great pleasure to introduce our guest today, David Byrne. He's running for State Assembly under the Republican, Conservative, and Independent line. I remember doing the news stories when on his Independent race because that was a nail-biter. Mr. Byrne, welcome.
Good morning, Phil. Thanks for giving me the opportunity to be here with you today, and I also want to thank you personally for your service to our country. Many listeners may not know this, but you're a Vietnam veteran.
Yes,
and,
sir.
Yep. I want to thank you for the sacrifice that you and your family made.
Well, thank you. Thank you. I perked right up when I saw that you were a veteran also. So tell me why you're – I know you're running, and it's interesting that you're running on three lines. So tell me what's on your mind, what concerns do you have, and why you're running.
Phil, I'm primarily running to help New York live up to its potential. I'm from here. I have a vested interest in this area. And I think we have to help New York live up to its potential by making it more livable for families, senior citizens, and young people, and also by making it more friendly to small businesses and farmers. According to the last census period, we had a net domestic migration outflow of 1.5 million people. So New York State experienced a net loss of 1.5 million people. When you look at people from other states moving into our state and from New York moving to other states. And this is actually the greatest loss that any state has experienced in America in the last census period. And a lot of our politicians in Albany don't want to talk about this because then they have to take some degree of responsibility or ownership over this. But I think that as communities, we need to talk about this because it's significant. It's 8% of what our base population was at the beginning of that census period. And this is, just to put in perspective, we lost more people than Louisiana after it was ravaged by Hurricane Katrina.
Oh, my.
And,
really?
And so that 8%
wow.
loss is greater than what Louisiana lost. And also, to put things in perspective, New York is ranked as being the worst business climate in America. So that's what I am referring to when I say that we need to make it more friendly to small businesses and also to farmers. And you know, I am an optimist. I think New York has a lot of potential. We have a wealth of human and natural resources. We have well-educated citizens that are willing to work hard. New York's the birthplace of innumerable ideas and businesses and industries. We have fertile soils, as you know, and great natural beauty, which is showcased here in the Mid-Hudson Valley. So we have a lot going for us here, and I'm committed to helping New York live up to its potential, so that it can be a place that's friendly to our people and small business owners.
And I have to ask you, in the assembly, that from your position there, you know, if you win. What do you think, what is your opinion at what I guess we from the outside see as so much discord going on in the Assembly and the Senate? And how would you go about making things more cordial so things can get done? It is getting a lot better, but I'd just like your input on that.
Yeah, I believe in working with people regardless of what party affiliation they are for the betterment of the people. And I served on the town board in Milan for 4 years, and there were numerous instances there where I voted with people of another party on an issue, and I was a tie-breaking vote. And, you know, my party wasn't very happy because of that, but I did that because I felt that they were making the right decision and that, you know, that vote would benefit the people. I know that New York State government is known as being the most dysfunctional, least transparent government of any state.
I was going to let you say that.
Yeah. And you know, that's a problem. And the reason is, Phil, is because a lot of decisions are made in back rooms, okay? And there's like three people that really make the decisions at the state level. And, you know, even, you know, state assembly men and women are not allowed to really have a say in many cases, because People will want to, let's say someone wants to provide some relief of mandates, and there have been numerous proposals put forward to do that, or someone wants to repeal an outdated regulation which is really hurting businesses, and that's also been done. But the problem is that these legislators that are proposing these reforms cannot get their proposed bills out of committee for a vote on the assembly floor, because quite frankly, Shelley Silver controls what goes to a vote on the assembly floor. And, you know, he does not allow something to go to a vote if he doesn't want it to. And that's the bottom line. And I think that in terms of working together, you know, as communities, as citizens, and, you know, putting pressure on our elected representatives in Albany, we need to be able to bring awareness about the situation that New York is in today. And, you know, some of these stats that I just cited, like the greatest net domestic migration outflow, the greatest net loss, and also being ranked as the least business friendly, and also the state with the least freedom, the least personal and economic freedoms in New York State. So, you know, I think many people are afraid to talk about this, but we have to talk about it, and hopefully that will empower our representatives in Albany, regardless of who it is, to really gain some traction and have some leverage to stand up to people like Shelley Silver.
Okay, if you just joined us, you are listening to the WGXC Morning Show. Philip is on your radio, and I'm on the radio today with David Byrne. He is the Republican candidate for the 106th Assembly District. He will be facing off with Dede Barrett. He also is on the conservative line and the independent line. And I must remember to tell you that the WGXC is a community radio station. We serve the folks of Greene and Columbia County without partisan. So this the opinions on that you are hearing on this station are that of the guest alone and not of WGXC. And I can't tell you how pleased I am to have both sides being able to come on WGXC and express themselves. So I appreciate you being here. And speaking of that, can you tell us a little about yourself, your background?
Yes, sir. I'm a local boy. I grew up in Red Hook, and growing up in a small town really helped me value freedom. Freedom is something that I treasure greatly, and also it helped me appreciate the natural beauty of the Mid-Hudson Valley. Just growing up, you know, going hiking on local trails, climbing the Catskills, going swimming at Lake Taconic, Wilcox Park, it really instilled a deep appreciation for the natural beauty that we enjoy here, and that's what really brought me back to this area, family, and just the wanting to raise my children in a small town so they could appreciate freedom and natural beauty like I did growing up. I went on to graduate West Point, and at West Point, the values of leadership and courage and integrity were reinforced in me. And then serving in the Army, and you've experienced this firsthand yourself, so you know, you can maybe appreciate what I'm saying here, but serving in the Army overseas in the Middle East for a couple of years, I had to practice the leadership that I had learned about at West Point in a very difficult operating environment. And I was also very proud that in Iraq, we were able to train Iraqi soldiers and policemen so they could stand up on their own two feet and provide security and stability to their regions. And Phil, it was very inspiring to be there for three elections that occurred. And you know, initially to actually coordinate the security of the poll sites and ensure that people could go vote with safety. But then later on, actually overseeing the Iraqi army and Iraqi police as they provide security and stability for the citizens to vote. And to see these people's faces as they came out of these polling sites as they enjoyed that freedom was very inspiring to me. It's something that I'll always remember my whole life. You know, through my time in the Army, my family really came to understand what sacrifice for a greater cause meant, because I spent more than 2 years away from home, and so public service is something that my family understands. I've been married to my wife Lanissa for 11 years. I have 3 children, and I really believe, Phil, that the family is the building block of society. If we have strong families, that makes our communities and our towns that much stronger. And so I'm a huge advocate for families. And I also got involved locally since coming back to the area. I got involved on the town board, and I served there for 4 years in the town of Milan. And I worked very hard with both Democrats and Republicans to balance our budgets, despite very tough constraints, decreasing mortgage tax, sales tax revenue.
Now, that's what I was going to ask you, because people like you and your opponent, Dee Dee Barrett, you have that political bug, because it takes a lot to do what the two of you are doing. Mm-hmm. And so when did you get it? One day you said to yourself, "Doggone it!"
I've always been passionate about public service and putting the needs of others above my own personal interests. And I came back to the area, and some of the locals involved in the Republican Party asked me to get involved. You know, they said we need some good people to run. Our town is facing a very difficult situation here, and we need people to kind of put the interests of the taxpayers first. So I got involved there, and I did my best, and then I wasn't planning my next move or anything. Mm-hmm. I fulfilled my 4-year term, but around that time, some other people approached me and said, "Hey, there's going to be this opening for state assembly, and we think you'd do a great job." So that's they put another bug in my
there
ear.
You
then.
Go. and the rest, as they say, is history.
Yep, just to go back to kind of finish my background story here, mm-hmm. I've worked for a local solar company over the past 4+ years, and I've really enjoyed that. I've helped a lot of local farmers, businessmen and women, and also homeowners, reduce their operating expenses for their business or control their household expenses and just really benefit from a powerful hedge against rising utility costs, because they can provide their own electricity more cost effectively than renting it from the utility. So I've really enjoyed working for this solar company. I also believe in energy independence. And after spending a couple of years in the Middle East, I think that we should rely on that region of the world for as little as possible, be as independent as possible. And that's how I got into that. And also, I have a private sector experience, and I understand, the type of environment that businesses need in order to succeed and to provide local, high-quality jobs.
And your district, we were talking off mic about how the 106 shaped it. For those of you who don't know, it consists of Greene, Columbia, Ulster, and Dutchess County. And of course, I don't have that much knowledge on Dutchess, but this is big farm area here, Columbia and Greene. And we talk farm, live farm, and eat and sleep farm. So I just wanted to get your thoughts, because you mentioned it, on the agricultural industry here in New York. I guess that we had a bad apple year this year. So what are your thoughts on agriculture here in New York State?
I'm very passionate about supporting our farmers, and unfortunately, we've experienced a significant loss of operating farms in this area. Actually, along Route 82, going from Fishkill up to Ankrum, we used to have over 60+ dairy farms, and today we only have 2 operating dairy farms. Mm. In New York State, Phil, we lose a farm every 3 days, just to put things in perspective. And it's really heartbreaking to talk to some of these farmers, these hardworking men and women, and some of them put in 12, 14 hours work days, 30, 365 days a year. I mean, they literally do not take vacation except for maybe once every 5 years when they can find a farmer to cover down for them and help them out. But, you know, farmers are businessmen and women, and, you know, the bottom line is that they have to make a profit. If they're not profitable, they can't pay their property taxes and they can't stay in business. And so I think it all goes back to improving the business climate in New York State, repealing regulations that are hurting businesses and also reducing taxes. Would you be okay with us talking a little bit about that? So I go door to door and I meet people. And, you know, I hear people's concerns and I feel this great pressure that people articulate. And they say, you know, my family's being split up because my parents are moving away or my kids are moving away because they can't afford to live here. And that's because we have high taxes. So that's the biggest thing I hear is people are moving away because of high taxes. And that's the reality of it. And you know, whether you're talking Columbia County or Dutchess County, we have some of the highest local taxes in America. I was actually just looking at the numbers because the Tax Foundation did some extensive analysis, and they determined that Columbia County is 252nd of 1,833 counties in America when you look at local property taxes as a percentage of income. Mm-hmm. Okay, and if we're talking Dutchess County, they're 42nd of 1,833. So we have some of the highest local taxes in America. But Phil, it's not just the local property taxes. You have to look at it in aggregate because there's a lot of other taxes that people pay. I mean, people pay sales tax. They pay state income tax, schools tax, highway use taxes, excise taxes, fuel taxes, fire taxes. And when you look at all these taxes in total, it's a 50-60% burden on our local taxpayers' shoulders. And that's the pressure that these people are articulating. And that's why, Phil, I believe that we're experiencing the greatest net loss in domestic migration in America. And, you know, a lot of people that I talk to, Phil, they talk about the school taxes. And they say, you know, the school taxes are really the greatest burden that I have right now on my shoulders. But we did implement this 2% tax cap, which I think was a step in the right direction. Now, let's talk about this a little more. I've talked to school superintendents. I've talked to teachers' unions. And my understanding is that, you know, when you look at this 2% tax cap, that's not a comprehensive solution. Because when you look at the school budgets, Phil, we have 60% of school budgets are driven by salaries and benefits of the teachers. And based on the Triborough Amendment, there's this 2% step pay increase on an annual basis. And that puts you at 1.2% of the 2% tax cap. Mm. Then you look at other fixed costs, like you have costs of energy and also insurance and other fixed costs. And when you incorporate that, you're already at 2% of the 2% tax cap. So if you do the math, you know, you don't need to be a rocket scientist to do the math here and see that, you know, the tax cap is not a comprehensive solution. What we need to do is address a lot of these mandates that are pushed down from the state and federal government to the school districts. And here's a list, and I just want to show you this list because this is this is several pages. This is a list of the unfunded mandates that the New York State Education Department compiled. And when you look at these mandates pushed on the state or on the school districts, over 80% are driven by the state, by New York State. And, you know, many people don't really understand the concept of unfunded mandates, but let's talk about that. Because basically, if the state passes a mandate or a requirement for the school to comply with, what they've been doing historically is telling the schools, hey, you must do X, Y, and Z. You must comply with this. Mm-hmm. But we're not going to pay for it. You're going to pay for it. So I'm going to make myself look good and pass this law. But I'm going to ensure that I look good by ensuring that you have to increase taxes at your local level. We don't have to increase taxes at our state level to pay for this. And just to use an analogy here to the Army, because I know this is something that you will appreciate. That's like me being at battalion headquarters, Phil. Mm. At battalion headquarters, and I'm telling you, let's say you're a first sergeant or a company commander for Alpha Company. I'm telling you, hey, Captain Phil, you got to go complete this mission, and I want you to complete this by tomorrow. But I'm not going to support you logistically. I'm not going to give you beans and bullets. But you got to go accomplish this mission.
Yeah,
that's what it boils down to.
Yeah, I hear that so often from everybody running for office. So I really hope that you're able to address some of these things. I wanted to give you the opportunity to tell everybody what your website is or how they can reach you.
Yep.
And so can you give us that information?
Yes. My website is www.dave4ny.com.
Okay, dave4ny.com.
Yep.
And Dave, he is running for the New York State Assembly seat in the 106. And on the Republican, on the conservative, and on the independent line. So, and I'm sure we're going to hear more from from you. But unfortunately, I've got to wrap as we go into getting closer to the 10 o'clock hour. Is there anything else you'd like to say in closing?
I just want to close with talking about leadership. I believe in leading by example and also servant leadership. And again, anyone who's been in the military understands real leadership. Servant leadership, Phil, is the idea that real leaders have the desire to serve first and lead second. And I believe that we're at a crossroads here in New York State, and we need representatives who are willing to put the needs of the people first, not make decisions based on what's going to be politically expedient or personally beneficial to them. We need people who have courage and integrity to stand up and fight for local interests and not have our agenda dominated by people like Shelley Silver who are making decisions unilaterally based on downstate interests. I believe in service, and I really hope to serve the people of this district and to improve the situation, help us live up to our potential. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you. We are talking, if you just joined us, we have been talking with David Byrne, who is running for assembly in the 106th, and he is running on three lines, on the Republican, conservative, and independent line. And as I said, I'm sure we're going to hear more from him. His webpage is David4, NewYork.com. I'm looking at it right now. Quite a beautiful family there. So thank you very much for coming. I hope to see you again, and I wish you success. David Byrne, ladies and gentlemen, you're listening.
I have a private sector experience, and I understand, you know, the type of environment that businesses need in order to succeed and to provide local, high-quality jobs.
And your district, we were talking off mic about how the 106 it's shaped. For those of you who don't know, it consists of Greene, Columbia, Ulster, and Dutchess County. And, of course, you know, I don't have that much knowledge on Ulster. Oh, yeah, actually Dutchess. But this is big farm area here, Columbia and Greene. And we talk farm, live farm, and eat and sleep farm. So I just wanted to get your thoughts, because you mentioned it, on the agricultural industry here in New York. I guess you know that we had a bad apple year this year. So what are your thoughts on agriculture here in New York State?
I'm very passionate about supporting our farmers, and unfortunately, we've experienced a significant loss of operating farms in this area. Actually, along Route 82, going from Fishkill up to Ankrum, we used to have over 60-plus dairy farms, and today we only have two operating dairy farms. Mm. And, you know, in New York State, Phil, we lose a farm every 3 days. just to put things in perspective. And it's really heartbreaking to talk to some of these farmers, these hardworking men and women, and you know, some of them put in, you know, 12, 14 hours work days, 365 days a year. I mean, they literally do not take vacation except for maybe once every 5 years when they can find a farmer to cover down for them and help them out. But, you know, farmers are businessmen and women, and, you know, the bottom line is that they have to make a profit. If they're not profitable, they can't pay their property taxes and they can't stay in business. And so I think it all goes back to improving the business climate in New York State, repealing regulations that are hurting businesses and also reducing taxes. Would you be okay with us talking a little bit about that? So I go door to door and I meet people. And, you know, I hear people's concerns and I feel this great pressure that people articulate. And they say, you know, my family's being split up because my parents are moving away or my kids are moving away because they can't afford to live here. And that's because we have high taxes. So that's the biggest thing I hear is people are moving away because of high taxes. And that's the reality of it. And you know, whether you're talking Columbia County or Dutchess County, we have some of the highest local taxes in America. I was actually just looking at the numbers because the Tax Foundation did some extensive analysis, and they determined that Columbia County is 252nd of 1,833 counties in America when you look at local property taxes as a percentage of income. Mm-hmm. Okay, and if we're talking Dutchess County, they're 42nd of 1,833. So we have some of the highest local taxes in America. But Phil, it's not just the local property taxes. You have to look at it in aggregate because there's a lot of other taxes that people pay. I mean, people pay sales tax. They pay state income tax, schools tax, highway use taxes, excise taxes, fuel taxes, fire taxes. And when you look at all these taxes in total, it's a 50-60% burden on our local taxpayers' shoulders. And that's the pressure that these people are articulating. And that's why, Phil, I believe that we're experiencing the greatest net loss in domestic migration in America. And, you know, a lot of people that I talk to, Phil, they talk about the school taxes. And they say, you know, the school taxes are really the greatest burden that I have right now on my shoulders. But we did implement this 2% tax cap, which I think was a step in the right direction. Now, let's talk about this a little more. I've talked to school superintendents. I've talked to teachers' unions. And my understanding is that, you know, when you look at this 2% tax cap, that's not a comprehensive solution. Because when you look at the school budgets, Phil, we have 60% of school budgets are driven by salaries and benefits of the teachers. And based on the Triborough Amendment, there's this 2% step pay increase on an annual basis. And that puts you at 1.2% of the 2% tax cap. Mm. Then you look at other fixed costs, like you have costs of energy and also insurance and other fixed costs. And when you incorporate that, you're already at 2% of the 2% tax cap. So if you do the math, you know, you don't need to be a rocket scientist to do the math here and see that, you know, the tax cap is not a comprehensive solution. What we need to do is address a lot of these mandates that are pushed down from the state and federal government to the school districts. And here's a list, and I just want to show you this list because this is
wow.
This is several pages. This is a list of the unfunded mandates that the New York State Education Department compiled. And when you look at these mandates pushed on the state, or on the school districts, over 80% are driven by the state, by New York State. And, you know, many people don't really understand the concept of unfunded mandates, but let's talk about that. Because basically, if the state passes a mandate or a requirement for the school to comply with, what they've been doing historically is telling the schools, hey, you must do X, Y, and Z. You must comply with this. Mm-hmm. But we're not going to pay for it. You're going to pay for it. So I'm going to make myself look good and pass this law, but I'm going to ensure that I look good by ensuring that you have to increase taxes at your local level. We don't have to increase taxes at our state level to pay for this. And just to use an analogy here to the Army, because I know this is something that you will appreciate. That's like me being at battalion headquarters, Phil. At battalion headquarters, and I'm telling you, let's say you're a first sergeant or a company commander for Alpha Company. I'm telling you, hey, Captain Phil, you got to go complete this mission, and I want you to complete this by tomorrow. But I'm not going to support you logistically. I'm not going to give you beans and bullets. But you got to go accomplish this mission.
Yeah,
that's what it boils down to.
Yeah, I hear that so often from everybody running for office. So I really hope that you're able to address some of these things. I wanted to give you the opportunity to tell everybody what your website is or how they can reach you.
Yep.
And so can you give us that information?
Yes. My website is www.dave4ny.com.
Okay, dave4ny.com.
Yep.
And Dave, he is running for the New York State Assembly seat in the 106. And on the Republican, on the conservative, and on the independent line. So, and I'm sure we're going to hear more from from you. But unfortunately, I've got to wrap as we go into getting closer to the 10 o'clock hour. Is there anything else you'd like to say in closing?
I just want to close with talking about leadership. I believe in leading by example and also servant leadership. And again, anyone who's been in the military understands real leadership. Servant leadership, Phil, is the idea that real leaders have the desire to serve first and lead second. And I believe that we're at a crossroads here in New York State, and we need representatives who are willing to put the needs of the people first, not make decisions based on what's going to be politically expedient or personally beneficial to them. We need people who have courage and integrity to stand up and fight for local interests and not have our agenda dominated by people like Shelley Silver who are making decisions unilaterally based on downstate interests. I believe in service, and I really hope to serve the people of this district and to improve the situation, help us live up to our potential. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you. We are talking, if you just joined us, we have been talking with David Byrne, who is running for assembly in the 106th, and he is running on three lines, on the Republican, conservative, and independent line. And as I said, I'm sure we're going to hear more from him. His webpage is David4NewYork.com. I'm looking at it right now. Quite a beautiful family there. So thank you very much for coming, I hope to see you. Hope to see you again, and I wish you a success, David Byrne, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to WGXE.
I do run a small.